Hi, my name is Ruth Busis, and about 10 years ago, I started a ministry called Awaken Love. It started when I've been married for 25 years or so, and I took a study on Song of Songs. And through that study, I was awakened to the fact that God wanted more intimacy with me and had this new awareness of how much God loved me. But it also woke me up to how much intimacy God wanted me to have in my marriage. Now, I've been blessed to have a good marriage, but honestly, we had a safe marriage. We didn't talk about hard things. And one of the hard things we didn't talk about was sex. Sex was good, but it wasn't as good as God wanted it to be for us. And I don't think I had a clear understanding how important sex was for my marriage. And so I went on this journey of discovery, and then after a year and of really working hard and figuring things out, I just felt like I needed to share what I learned about sex with other people. So I invited 8 close friends onto my porch so that I could share what I'd learned. Out of that has grown a ministry where I think that first year I taught over 100 women. And every year after that, to the point where now I've taught over 1,000 women in person. And so I've heard so many stories. I've seen stories of transformation. And I just believe that God's gift of sex is powerful. And that there are so many bad messages about sex that we need to understand the truth about sex. And so I want to share with you what I've learned about sex. I want to share with you some of the stories I've heard from women and men that have been transformed as they learn the truth about sex. And so as we go on this journey, I want to encourage you. You know, we've all been impacted by messages about sex, whether it's from culture or from the church or from awkward conversations or from things we've seen on TV or in pornography. And so we all bring baggage to the table. And so in this course, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into what was God's original intention for sex. Like, if you'd never been impacted by the world, what would he want for you? And so I want you to, like, in your mind, and maybe we'll just pray about this right now, is just wipe the slate clean, to erase all of those things, even if it's just for these moments when we're talking in this course, so that you can actually hear from God's Word what He intended for sex. So let's just pray real quick. Father God, I thank you for these men and women that want to hear your truth. And so, God, I pray that in these moments, God, maybe you just wipe clean our slate, that we could hear your truth, so that the lies and the baggage that we've begun to believe about sex, God, could be in the distance, in the background, to be not heard, God, that they would be silenced, that the lies from Satan would be silenced, so that we could hear your truth, God. And so, God, I pray that you bless our time together, that you speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to spend, when we start talking about God's design for sex, I think one of the first places to start is by talking about Song of Songs. And Song of Songs is in your Bible behind Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and then comes this tiny little book called Song of Songs. And it's very different from any other book in the Bible. It speaks to your heart rather than your mind. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you were going to have a book in the Bible about marriage, it could be prescriptive as far as, you know, you need to spend time together and you need to talk to each other and you need to serve each other. And that's not what it does. Instead, it, through poetry, it gives this picture of what this passionate, intimate relationship looks like. And I don't know about you, but for me, poetry is sometimes hard to understand. It can feel confusing. And so what I want you to think about is, rather than thinking about, well, what exactly is going on and what happens next, what I want you to think about is, who are these people? Who is this man? How does he act? And who is this woman? And how do they interact together? And so I want to read you just a few passages out of Song of Songs. And I'm going to start with a passage where he's speaking. And this is from chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, "You are as beautiful as Tirzah, my darling, as lovely as Jerusalem, as majestic as troops with banners. Turn your eyes from me, they overwhelm me. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep coming up from the washing. Each has its twin, not one of them is missing. Your temple, behind your veil, like the halves of a pomegranate. 60 queens they may be, and 80 concubines, and virgins beyond number. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique, the only daughter of her mother, the favorite one who bore her. Though young women saw her and called her blessed, the queens and concubines praised her." Now I want to read a passage where she is speaking. This comes out of Song of Songs, chapter 5, verses 10 through 16. And she says to him, "My beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is pure as gold. His hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice, yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies dripping with myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with topaz. His body is like polished ivory, decorated with lapis lazuli. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as a cedar. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem." And so each of them in their own way are describing each other's bodies and what excites them and what they love about each other. I'm going to read you two more passages. The first one comes out of Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And once again, this is him speaking to her. And he says to her, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter has passed, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the seasons of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Come, my darling, my beautiful, come with me." And so he's calling her, springtime's come, come with me. And it's he's calling to her to go and escape with him. Now I'm going to read you a passage that she says to him. And this is chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. And she says to him, "May the wine go straight to my beloved, flowing gently over lips and teeth. I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love." And so she's inviting him out to the vineyards early in the morning to give him her love. And so it's this outdoor adventure in the vineyards to go and have sex together. Now, I read you these passages of both him speaking and her speaking because I want you to get a feel for their roles. It seems to me in Song of Songs that she speaks as much as he does, that she invites as much as he does, that she expresses herself as much as he does, which when you think of the book of Song of Songs written 3,000 years ago, and the cultural role of women in those days was very much, you know, in the background. Many times women were one step above slaves or servants. They were not equals to men. And yet, even in that culture, God is portraying husbands and wives as equals in the marriage bed. I think that's a profound truth that we need to capture, is that regardless of what the role of men or women is in culture, God intended for husbands and wives to be equal in the marriage bed. For her to be able to express herself, to be able to ask for what she wants, to call him to outdoor adventures. And I think that's very different from maybe what we've typically heard about the roles of men and women in sex. Now, I don't think it's about men and women being the same, because I think men and women are very different in their sexuality. And in fact, I think that we have much to learn from each other. It's not about women trying to be like a man. It's about husbands bringing their best self and sharing it with their wife. But it's also about wives bringing themselves and sharing it with their husbands. I think there are things that husbands and wives can experience if wives bring themselves. And if they don't, they'll miss out on it. Things like, I think wives are very in tune to whether husbands and wives are actually connecting during sex versus just going through the motions in order to get to the finish line and have an orgasm. I think wives are very in tune to, you know, sometimes sex is not all about creating the right friction, but it's about being with each other. I think women are very in tune to the power of using words to create excitement. Just like men are in tune to creating excitement through their eyes and through visual things. I think men can help women learn how to be more spontaneous. Sometimes maybe wives need to learn to stop worrying about things and just enter into a time of escape together. And so husbands and wives bring very, very different things to the marriage bed, but both are important. And there is an importance in learning to make sex mutually enjoyable for both husbands and wives. And it's not an easy thing. Sex has largely been defined by what works for men. And so if we're going to make sex enjoyable for the wife too, the husband may have much to learn. And so it's this amazing adventure of discovering who you are as a person, sharing yourself with your spouse, and creating a marriage bed that is amazing for both of you. That is God's design for sex, is that sex be mutually enjoyable.